to understand today's story, we need to remember that just over 40 years earlier, Moses had led the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. In the book of Exodus, we're told how God used Moses to deliver his people from the Pharaoh. In delivering his people from slavery, God performs many miracles, including 10 plagues, the Passover, the parting of the Red Sea, and parting the Red Sea so they can escape the Egyptian army. But after the Exodus, God judges Moses and the Israelites for disobedience and lack of faith. For this lack of faithfulness, God declares that this generation will not enter the promised land, and they wander the wilderness for 40 years. This 40 years is meant to prepare a faithful generation to enter the promised land. During the 40 years of wandering, God showed his faithfulness by providing for them with manna daily, with quail at times, and bringing water from rocks. Their clothes and their shoes miraculously don't wear out during these years. So during the years of Moses' leadership, the nation of Israel had been blessed and judged in very visible and often miraculous ways. The generation that Joshua leads had witnessed God's provision in the wilderness and certainly heard the stories from their parents and grandparents of the deliverance from Egypt. Together, let's read Joshua 3. It's a longer passage than we normally read in the service, but the scripture is much better than anything I can prepare. There's Bibles in front of you there if you'll follow along and read along. So Joshua 3, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that I, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And then Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord shall rest on the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters come down from upstream, and they will stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is by Zaratan. So the waters that went down to the sea of Emra, the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over Jordan. So we read in chapter 3 that by carefully following God's instruction, Joshua is able to lead the people across the Jordan River on dry land. God had parted the waters, and the upstream side had risen in a great heap. It specifically mentions that they stood on dry ground, so they weren't wading through mud. In the book of Numbers, we're told that the adult males were over 600,000. So it's suggested that the population who crossed the Jordan would have been well over a million. It's hard to imagine the ground effect of a million people walking. If there had been any mud at all, it would have been impassable immediately. So God parted the water and provided solid footing for a million people to pass. This stood out to me this week. Over the last month, we've been blessed with lots of rain. But it does mean that processing and vaccinating cattle has made our corrals a pit of mud 2 feet deep. And I can't imagine the trail a million people would leave behind. So the dry ground is required for a large group of people to travel. The crossing is led and overseen by the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. God instructs that the Ark lead the nation into the Jordan and remain in the middle while the people cross. The Ark represents God's presence, and specific handling of it demonstrates faith and fear of God. It's this same faith and fear of God that had been found lacking in Moses' generation. Continue to read from chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men of the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You should carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men who he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you should answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Something I noticed is that Joshua told the 12 men to cross over before the ark of the Lord and take up a stone. But remember that the ark went first and led the nation into the Jordan. So if you're wondering about the word before, I want to explain it. It seems to mean in front of or near the ark. And this makes sense that the people had otherwise been instructed to stay about 1,000 yards away from the ark in chapter 3. So this instruction's meaningful, allowing them to approach the ark to gather the stones. Again, reading from chapter 4, verse 10. So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people. And according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. And then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. In this passage, it stood out to me that Joshua saying what God had commanded him, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And I think this is a reference to the years in the wilderness. Given the events of his life, I imagine Moses constantly telling the younger men about all he had experienced, telling the people about his interactions with God, the miracles he had witnessed, and the mistakes that had kept him from crossing into the promised land. When I was about 12, I was asked to, I was contacted by a neighbor, had a neighbor in his 90s, and his family wouldn't let him mow the lawn anymore. And he didn't really appreciate that, but so he'd come over and asked, and he was still driving at the time, which wasn't the best, but he came over and hired me to do his yard care and mow the lawn and whatnot. And so I'd go over and do that. And he had three stories that he would tell you. And when he got to the last one, then he'd start again. And he didn't know he was doing it, of course. But his wife did. And it drove her wild. And so you'd sit and visit, and he'd tell you the stories. And then he'd start. And she'd interrupt him. She'd say, oh, you quit that. You just told him. I did. And this just went on and on. And I imagine Moses in his later years, given all he had seen and experienced, I imagine they probably couldn't get him to be quiet about it. So anyone who had been around him no doubt had heard it all. And particular, Joshua, in regard to when God gives you instructions, you are to follow them specifically, because that was one of the major issues that Moses ran into at the end and derailed his ministry. Continuing on in verse 19, now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, and as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he had dried up before us until we had crossed over. And that all the peoples in the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. In today's message, I wanted to highlight the memorial stones. God instructs Joshua to bring 12 stones from the bottom of the river and build a monument at Gilgal. The stones are carried on their shoulders, so they're not tremendously big as far as stones go. We're given a simple reason for this monument, because your children will forget. And after all that had happened to this generation, and the previous generation, God points out that it will take an effort to preserve what they had learned, because your children will forget. I wonder, when we were in school, how many of us enjoyed learning history? We got one.
Not in high school, but my college courses were good.
Later, yeah. That's interesting. So, would follow up with that, how many of us became more interested in history as we got a little older? Yeah, myself as well. When I was in school, I thought history was dull because it wasn't taught as being connected to the future. And now I can see that it was done that way on purpose. So the history I learned in school didn't affect me, but I was shaped a lot by hearing from older people about their lives. These memorial stones were placed to remind future generations of God's blessing and judgment. And the concern that the children would forget came true, because we see Hosea 600 years later calling Gilgal the center of their wickedness, the same location where they had one of their highest points spiritually. Generations will forget, but Joshua followed God's instructions carefully, as Moses had commanded him. And the first-hand testimony of Exodus and God's provision in the wilderness was what prepared a generation that was able to enter the promised land. So we see God calling his people to be purposeful in carrying forward the testimony of his faithfulness. And we should consider for ourselves how we would share what we have learned about God. Joshua told the people that the stones were to remind them to let your children know all that God had done. Joshua entered the promised land just over 40 years after the Exodus from Egypt. 40 years ago was 1986. Which is fairly recent for some of us. It doesn't seem that long ago. And 40 years before that, the Second World War had just ended. A shocking thought is that when Rhonda and I tell our kids about the 1980s, it's the same as our grandparents and our parents telling us about the 40s. But when they told us about the 40s, we thought that was a long time in the past. But it was the same. It was 40 years, and it was also 40 years in the wilderness for the Israelites. 80 years since the war seems like a long time. But 1986 seems fairly recent to me. I mentioned that history in school was boring, but the stories I heard firsthand were very impactful and shaped who I'd become. In 2005, my parents' farm became a century farm. And just so you know, if a farm is owned and operated by the same family for 100 years, the province, you know, they send you a letter from the premier and they give you a plaque. So I was raised on a farm that my father and grandfather had also grown up on. And when I think about passing down knowledge and experience, I think about my grandfather. Growing up, I saw and worked with my grandfather nearly every day. He was born in 1917. And he grew up farming with horses. And as a boy, I heard stories about our family starting about 100 years before I was born. And I learned that the Depression in the 30s, Grandpa left school in grade 7 to work the farm and support his aging parents. My grandparents got married in the early 40s, and they farmed through the war years, and they faced very hard years farming through the 50s. So I grew up hearing stories of the past and how God had provided for our family. When I asked Grandpa about the Depression in the 30s, he always talked about how even with the drought crops, they were able to grow a garden. And he'd tell me that God had provided, that many others had it much worse than our family or our area. So I had been told about the foot and mouth outbreak, which affected cattle trade in 1951. And this happened only a few years after World War II. If you didn't know, during World War II, the ag products in Canada were embargoed, so the price was depressed to support the war effort. And so they had been through, farming through the 40s was very, very hard. Then in 51, foot and mouth outbreak hit, shut down cattle trade. So in 2003, when BSC closed our borders to export cattle, the price of cattle dropped in half. It was an encouragement to hear about God had provided in the past, and we could trust him still. I've experienced droughts and hailstorms, market interruptions, but it's a great blessing to have the knowledge that you can trust in God and that others around you have that testimony and that experience. Each of us has a story of our lives and our walk with God. And if the people who experienced Exodus and 40 years in the wilderness are in danger of forgetting God, then so are we. So I want to encourage each of us to spend time thinking about our lives and how God's provided for us and been faithful, answers to prayer, and share this with your family and children and those around you. Our culture and technology are in a constant state of change, and it's important to remind each other of what doesn't change. That Christ offers each person forgiveness and a right relationship with God. And that we can live without fear, trusting the same God that provided for the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. So within your family, add the stories of how God has guided your life. We often think of testimony as just our salvation story, but of course there's much more to it as you walk with the Lord through the years and get to witness answered prayers. It's real important to talk about those things and share them with those who are around us. So I encourage you to consider that this week and look for an opportunity to share some of your story with those around you.